But we, this is what we text about. I was like, everybody's getting bullied and they're scared. I don't like it. I said, it makes us look bad. We look like a bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. And you know what? We're going to fucking hash all that out. So fucking get ready. Get ready for fucking a lot of those. Oh, baby, it's no possible to leave in a lie. I guess it's not logical to say it's all right. All right. I want to start this way. And hopefully this is the last I ever tell this story, but I left a part of the Brian Townsend Mandela story out last week, and I would like to cover that because I think it's appropriate today. Tizzy was here with Brian talking about Senate priorities. That was a year, 2 years ago. I wonder how those priorities are doing. We should look back.
I have a specific question about that. I remember there was a batch of really good labor bills coming in 2023.
SB21. That's what he
talking
about.
That's the one. Okay.
Labor bill.
All right. Just need to be a little patient.
Yeah. So we get into this conversation that I explained to Dale, yada, yada. And of course, Townsend and I, we all have a big discussion for a few minutes about it. And I had referred to a couple times Mandela as being a Marxist revolutionary, which is just patently true. And Tizzy sort of in the middle said, well, can you be a Democrat and be a Marxist? And like the room kind of stood, because I looked at Carl. Carl knew what I was going to say, but there was like a pause. I was like, not really, no. You can't. You know? There's things working in two different directions, and I think we just start to need to be a lot more clear about what they are. So, anyway, without further ado, from the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast, I'm Rob. This is the Highlands Bunker Podcast. Welcome to it. We're coming to you live from the new Bunker Studio, deep behind enemy lines. Carl is here. Hello, Carl.
Hello.
Bill is here. Hello, Bill.
Good evening, Rob.
We might need a lot of legal advice before this thing's over. And I called in the big guns, because I just needed somebody that I said, like, I knew it would agree with me. So from the Holmes campaign and from Working Families Party, Delaware, Cheyenne Miller. Cheyenne, hello.
Hi.
So I started off like that because the first topic is, like, SB1, the corporate bill, right? And this is the Townsend thing, and it all kind of comes together in this idea. And I saw a lot of scuttlebutt. Now, I'm not on Facebook. I'm not here or there. I don't look at that. It's all garbage. I don't care what these fucking people are saying. I don't care about any of it. But things get forwarded to me. And so I know that there were people saying, well, you know, Townsend's so respected, Carl. Why would you, try to undermine a respected legislator? Or this Townsend, he really changed my mind. I don't want to give up this money, or just outright supporting SB21. You are not any kind of socialist. Doesn't matter what adjective or qualification you use, you can't be calling yourself a socialist if you're like, oh, Brian Townsend made a lot of good points. Your politics do not cohere to the politics of a working family, small w, small f, by the way, not the party.
Yeah, we support SB21 very, very deeply.
Rob, it's nuanced.
So I think I'm making myself clear here. Because what I hope to do tonight is start to talk about, like, the type of lib. Because if we're going to live in this world where we're going to have some kind of partnership with these people, we have to be a lot more clear-eyed about what the fuck it is we're doing. Because these people, every different type of them, is bad in our own way, and they need to be fucking dealt with. And I'm prepared to fucking deal with them. So no. If you even said Brian Townsend had good points, you're not any kind of socialist that there is. I mean, we can talk about that, but it's just nonsense. And I know, Bill, this is a story that, like, you and I were more involved with than the regular person. And it made me think of the time we were talking to outside of the Dover courtroom, talking to Steve Wood. And in this big gaggle of people and attorneys and stuff, he was like, you know, telling me what's what. And he turned to you and he goes, I guess you're a Marxist too. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like, you got me.
No shame.
No. And so just before I maybe throw it to you, I'll just say that you can't have a third of your budget come from weird deals to have people hoard capital. It's just that easy. We're like breaking stuff down because people say, it's very complicated. What does it mean to be this kind of shareholder? And what does it mean to be able to bring this kind of suit with this power? None of that matters. Forget about that. They're allowing capital. The thing we're against, if you read the volumes and all that, they're allowing them to do the thing that's creating the material problems that are described. So, like, if Marxist is, like, a real weird buzzword, or it makes you feel weird, or you don't understand it, just ask me. I'll walk you through it. Because we gotta be very clear about what it is we're fucking doing. So now I'm going to throw it to Bill for some commentary.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've been thinking similarly about, you know, seeing the divide on SB21 in particular, and how, like, I don't know. It's like the same line that things always fall down, and within the sort of the Delaware Democrats, it's like some people who I think understand that it's legislation aimed to like hurt shareholders, put more power in the hands of, you know, officers, directors, owners. But then there's like the other side of the Democratic Party here just doesn't like conflict. They don't like inner turmoil. They sense that this issue is divisive among its more progressive members.
It's making respected legislators look bad.
And that too. And they fashion themselves as very progressive people, because they probably are in some ways. But you're right, to this like the sort of Marxist ideal that you're talking about, the breaking things down in terms of capital and owners and workers, you know, bosses and shareholders, whatever you want to call it, they're pretty squishy.
Yeah, you brought up a good word. You must, I think, can you see the reflection of my glasses and see what the notes are? Because this is what I was going to ask Cheyenne. Like, progressive. Like, that Obama wave, the Townsend wave, right? It was like, Brian, progressive Democrats of Delaware, or that other thing, whatever that other thing was. There's like, that was their first big, you know, oh, we can do progressive stuff. Now, when I think about progressive politics of that era, I think about people who brought us Elon Musk, J.D. Vance. Libs loved Elon Musk and J.D. Vance, two people who are integral in whatever it is that's fucking going on. The only reason Elon Musk and J.D. Vance have any political capital at all is because they were boosted up by the progressive Democrat. And that's just facts. And if you drive a Tesla, or you thought Musk was cool, or you thought the Hillbilly book was enlightening or whatever, yes, you have to reckon with that. That's what made me think of this, is because I asked Sarah when she was sitting where Cheyenne is sitting, like, are Democrats reckoning with all of these mistakes that they're obviously been made over the last 50 years? And I don't know. From her answers, I don't think they are. But are the Democrats we're working with here doing it? Because we know these people. And what are we doing about it? Are we challenging them to reckon with their mistakes and why we're not getting the things that we're getting that they propose to want? I don't know. I will tell you this. This has been building up in me about a week and a half. Just letting you know.
Can feel it. Keep going. It's great.
I mean, it just hit me.
Struggle session.
I kind of, but that's a real thing though. The same people that got Brian Townsend elected, who maybe drive a Tesla, who loved the book that J.D. Vance wrote because it was, you know,
yeah,
talked about him. Like,
no, they love Silicon Valley.
They made a huge mistake. And if they don't, then their politics, if they can't reckon with it, sort of say, and say, yeah, well, that was the wrong direction. I made a big mistake. you guys were right all along. You were vindicated. Then I think we could start to work with those people. But until they do that, I don't see how we can. I'm struggling with this for real. Because that's a huge problem. I mean, maybe Carl's better to speak on this because he's at that crucible, you know, between like the activism world and the political world. You're right in the middle of this. I mean, I don't know if you have. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I can. I'd also like to define some terms.
Okay, go ahead.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned like progressives and Marxists and all that stuff.
Okay.
I think it's interesting to go back and talk about what the progressive movement actually was. Because I think that maybe can help inform how we talk about this.
You think?
Yeah.
You're going to talk about like Teddy Roosevelt and shit?
Yeah. Why not?
He's going to talk about TR? I mean, you can't. This is your shit.
Wrote a whole thing about
this. Here's my thing, though. The way it's you, but are we...
I think it's important to define what the contradiction is.
Okay.
If we're going to definitely talk about it.
See, he knows what he's doing.
Marx's term.
He said he's going to walk us back to
this. So,
look, this is what it is.
You know, with the progressives, if we're talking about the original progressive movement, we're talking about like late 1890s through the 19-teens. And it was basically you have this big war between capital and labor in the second half of the 19th century, which essentially just means more and more wealth is building up. And so you got your Andrew Carnegies, your J.P. Morgans, your Jay Goulds, who are just running roughshod over everybody. And then on the other side, you have your socialists, you have your Knights of Labor, you have your AFL that are engaging in all these like very violent and very controversial strikes. And the cities are in flame. You've got anarchists throwing bombs. You got all that shit going on.
Haymarket, baby. You'll learn more about this.
Yeah, Haymarket. And you also got, like, when you get in the 19-teens, you got like all the Italians too.
Sacco and Vanzetti.
Exactly. And so the progressive, at the same time, though, you also have a building middle class, which is like the lawyers, the bankers, the office workers, the people who are the ones who are managing the giant corporations and government agencies that are now forming in response to the massive accumulation of capital. Because you don't really have like yeoman farmers anymore. So this is our new middle class, is like that you can kind of recognize today. And the progressive movement is a movement of the new middle class to basically say, this is all crazy. We need to rationalize all this stuff. And so that means, in some senses, it means we're like adding more government in oversight, but it's government oversight to make the system work better, not to like hand anything from this group to that group or to actually fundamentally change the way the power works. It's to kind of like keep a leash on individual bad actors in order to make the system overall work better. So that's like, that was Teddy Roosevelt's whole deal with the Square Deal. That was Woodrow Wilson's thing with like the Fed and with banking regulations and all that stuff. And then you put that in contrast with Marxism, which goes back even further, which is essentially the idea that there are two classes that have an inevitable conflict. If you're a progressive and you're trying to prevent that conflict, you're basically a fucking idiot because it's always going to happen no matter what. And the idea of that is, instead of we need to resolve this conflict and rationalize the system, it means we need to build up the power of working class people so much that they overcome the conflict between the working class and the ruling class in the benefit of the working class and create a new system, which then we'll probably inevitably have its own contradictions, but we'll get to that when we get to it. And so, you know, like with Working Families Party, for example, we are not a Marxist, but the thing that is taken from that with Working Families Party, though, is we are specifically focused not on good government or human rights or this. Like, we support these things, obviously. But, like,
okay, this is a big announcement.
Breaking news. Get to open up Delaware Call. The Working Families Party comes out for anti-human rights.
But, you know, the fundamental thing when we talk about what we're all about, it's governing power for the multiracial working class. We are on the side. We are on a side. There are two sides, and we've picked a side. And so I think that when we get back to progressive, because I was also having this conversation with somebody.
That's a great framing, I have to tell you. Once again, the progressive is a person who, and again, the person I thought of when you said it was FDR, because he's the only one who came close, obviously failed, went up against a bunch of stuff. He came close. He, as a progressive, trying to keep capitalism, but assuage the horrors and the calamity.
Yeah.
worked for like 50 years.
Yeah. And the only reason it got that far is because there was a active labor movement that was able to provide a social base to like give a little bit more oomph to that progressive attempt to, because you can't really rationalize between labor and capital if capital has all the power and labor has no power. That's what we've seen the last like 50 to 70 years is the rollback of all those stuff because capital managed to get the upper hand in a, yeah, in
and
a
just,
stronger
way. And by the
way,
just so people don't lose sight of it, what he's explaining, this phenomenon, is that's what Marxism is. It's being able to explain with data and analysis this economic phenomena, basically. That's it. So if it sounds like a boogeyman word or like you don't understand it, Carl just explained it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I was having a good conversation with someone who's been in Delaware politics for a little while. And they were talking about, because it's a big thing, WFP is a big boogeyman now.
I love it. Well, we're going to talk about that too, the WFP-DE derangement syndrome.
And I was asking about
that. That's another reason Cheyenne's here.
Is this a new thing? Like, you know, obviously WFP's new, but like, is this a thing that they would do before? And apparently he said that, oh, the thing that used to be, and this makes sense with like Delaware liberal being a thing, is that liberal used to be the boogie word that they'd say like, oh, they're too liberal, which is funny because when we talk about liberal, we mean that like they're your right.
Yeah, we hate them too. Yeah.
But like they meant it from like you're just left of center in any sort of way.
Yeah. I like the people who start to use left liberal. They're just like left liberal. Just say anybody. Just make up. Just it doesn't even make sense.
And so, you know, this is a, you know, like there's people who think that even liberal or progressive is so strong a word to use because it's already so bad because they see it in a certain way. But I think when we use the word progressive, I think that's an important thing to distinguish
because
what
we're
that
making
means.
A challenge, right, because we're making a challenge to the norms and institutions. And progressives, as much as they hate the those Rethuglicans and hate the orange Cheeto, they love norms and institutions. They love them. And so, not that I don't think norms and institutions are necessary, but the ones that don't work that we have, you know, that's their problem. I mean, this is why there's this tension between progressives, the people who are telling you you're trying to undermine, you know, you're trying to undermine Richard Leighton and Finger. Yeah, of course. What are you, fucking stupid? Like, I think we need to be more obvious about what we're trying to do because we get caught in these situations and we're like, we got our pants down a little bit. You know, and we're like, we don't know how to deal with them. Just tell people, that's not what we support. That's not what, you know, that's the hoarding of capital. We don't like that. We never liked it. So, you know, we got to start talking to people like maybe like they're kind of babies almost. Because otherwise, they don't seem to be understanding what the project is. That's my concern. Is like, how do you work with somebody you don't trust? They don't fucking trust them. I don't like it. You know, I don't want to work with somebody who doesn't understand why we shouldn't create an institution here to let people hoard even more money that we were talking about was bad 10 years ago. We got to move forward with the people who understand that and then teach the other people, not pretend like we're not going to have this conversation. Now, again, I'm speaking to the choir here. But I mean, you guys are all experiencing this phenomena in your work in a different way. I mean, and Cheyenne's so quiet right now. She just, I mean, do you think this is a conversation you just don't want to have or people just aren't ready for it? Like, I mean, you obviously know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I think the biggest problem we're having here is the fact that, like, we're not even ready for the conversation about whether somebody's Marxist or not. We're not talking about progressives. We're talking about something real basic. And it's really this question of, are you really upset at the way that I deliver the message over the actual content of the message? And that's what it feels like we're really dealing with, is the fact that you can't even get in a room and say why something is bad without it being a problem that you were willing to say it in the first place, right? Like, we're not even in a space where we can have the conversation about when something is not right. And it's like this like air of politeness or an air of don't push back or an air of like, you know, we shouldn't be in a space where we're pushing back against certain people because it makes them look bad. Any form of dissent is considered bad in this progressive
bad
world,
form.
Right? Like, it's bad form. It's not good. Like, I don't even think we get to a space where we can have a real conversation about the content of what we're fighting on. You can pick it SB 21. It can be about police reform. It can be about housing. You can pick the issue. But if you come into that space saying the wrong thing to the wrong people, you end up getting thrown out. You end up not even being able to really explore it because they're criticizing the fact that you brought it up and calling you rude and saying that you're a rabble rouser and saying that this isn't the time, this isn't the place. And like, to me, I don't even get in some spaces where I'm able to even have an in-depth conversation about whether some of these issues are actually a problem. I'm still fighting the fact that we can't even get past the fact that people are saying we're rude or that, you know, you guys are too leftist, you're too extreme for this conversation. Like you said, you trust Brian. You got to have some respect for Brian. Respect for Brian means kneeling. Respect for Brian means not putting him on the spot and asking him hard
questions.
Some
would say that was what a courtier would do. Some would say that.
I mean, that's what this is. Y'all here got us looking crazy. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. We need to be more clear about, and I don't know how this would be handled from a political standpoint. I don't know. I actually really don't care. But the fact of the matter is that Democrats, Delaware Democrats and National Democrats, are losers. They're weak. They get bullied. When they can't fight back, if somebody tries to fight back and stand up for housing rights or police reform, you know, they get called basically a terrorist.
Or a mob.
And then we just get pushed around. Look, I guess, and I said this before, and this is how we're going to start have to talk. I'm sorry. We're going to have to start doing this. We have too many pussies. Too many people who want to keep decorum because they're not comfortable reckoning with their own self. I don't trust those people. They have to start showing me that they are reckoning with their own self before I'm going to trust them. That's what I think. Well, believe that they're on the same project as, because every, and I have been very clear about jettisoning people who are not, who I thought were and aren't. The SS Eugene Young has fucking sailed. That thing has fucking sailed. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's fine. And I don't have a problem. Like, I feel fine. I think we're still friends. I mean, I think so. But, I mean, his politics, fucking garbage. In the toilet. So, I have no problem jettisoning people, but I guess what I don't want to, now that we've learned those lessons, now that we've done this for almost 10 years, from what I call like the beginning of network, Eugene, to now, I've been it from the beginning, 10 years almost. We've learned 10 years worth of lessons. Okay, let's not get fooled again, like a bunch of dupes and rubes and dum-dums. Let's find out who's really with us and work with them. And if that means that we're not fucking Democrats, then guess what? We're not. That's how we have to proceed. Because we've been 10 years now, and we've gotten these people elected, and we feel better about it. And God, Medina's like one of the greatest politicians we're ever going to see. But at some point, we got to say, what are we getting out of it? And to me, after 10 years, I'm not fucking satisfied with it. Are you satisfied?
You can't. Agree.
She's going to keep going. Like, you know what? I'm leaving.
I think this is great. No, seriously.
Because I have a lot of... I went to... I don't know if you were there or not. There was a network event at the Route 9 Library a few months ago. I don't remember even what it was. Kirsten spoke at it. And I just love being at those, especially the ones that are really well attended, because people are like, oh, this person's been here since there. I was like, I was at the first meeting. Yeah. Yeah. Quaker Hill. Yeah. Friends. Yeah. 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 I was there. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get so much pride in saying that. So because I get the pride, now let's learn the lessons of the last 10 years and start making some difficult decisions. Because, you know, if we're going to be, if we think we're going to get the institutional change that we all want in this room, with anybody who's a Democrat, we're not. And I haven't even begun. I'm only halfway through this shit. Do you guys not agree with that? No. You guys can't agree with it, right? Because you're like a lobbyist now. Cheyenne can't say shit about nobody anymore. She used to have her on here. She'd be going crazy.
We're both registered lobbyists, actually.
Oh, here we go. You know? Cheyenne had.
I have a question about the litmus test. What you're arguing about is about people who are organizationally in the fight with us, who are taking half-ass sides, or are legislators who are taking half-ass sides. And the world that I'm living in right now, and have been living in for a long time, has been we get what we can from those people, and our base is really the people. And I don't give litmus tests to the people. Like, I don't give litmus tests to my neighborhood, right? When I go out and I knock on a door...
Well, that's why we were talking about.
I don't knock on somebody.
Well, first of all, and also, they don't have a vote in SB 21.
And they don't. They don't. And that's why I said... That's a big problem, actually. I have a, like, higher standard for legislators and for nonprofit workers and for these 501c3, C4 advocates and these PACs and all of these organizational-type people. I have such a higher standard for what I expect from them. That the litmus test, I can almost be like, yeah, or I might give you a litmus test. But when it comes to, like, regular people, that's what I don't. And I think that's why I'm so quiet, is because my mind is stuck on the volunteers I asked to come out and help with Working Families Party, or the volunteers I asked to come out and work on rent stabilization with Homes Campaign, who frankly don't know what the fuck a Marxist is, don't fucking care, honestly. All they know is their rent's too fucking high. Yeah. All they know is that the state cares about corporations more than they care about them.
That's right.
And that's all I have. That's all I can come to them and say. And so that's why I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, damn, I got to switch my mind to, and I hate to say it like this, but the people that I use during the day to basically get information, get access, which is what I use the nonprofit workers for. I need information from you and I need access. Right. That's the two things I can get from you. Pretty much all. Sometimes I might even be able to get support. You might fuck up and support. You might fuck around and say, know what?
Broken
clock. Going at you for rent.
Broken clock theory.
Mess around. Right. You know, twice a day. Right. But like, I don't know. That's why I'm so quiet, because I'm just thinking like, that's not who I even like. My mind isn't even there. I have no expectation that anyone who benefits from the shit that we fight against is going to fight directly with me and me in the fight. I only get what I can get from them. I don't mind sitting on a Zoom with you all week. Sure. You want to sit in an hour Zoom once a week? Let's do it, sis. Let's talk about it. Give me the information for the bill. Break the bill down. Bring your lawyer in so your lawyer can lawyer for me, right? But y'all are not going to fight and go tooth and nail for what I'm looking for. Like, it is going to have to be regular people. And regular people don't never fucking fail me. They don't never fucking fail me.
First of all, beautifully put, completely agree. And to further refine it, I think I'll say that the audience for this are not those people. Because those people don't, like you said, they don't. I'm talking about people who are interjecting themselves, not in this way, not volunteers you're getting at Working Families Party, but people who are sort of mid-level, whether they're doing lobbying for a nonprofit or whether they're doing mostly lobbying
step
and
up.
Shit for a nonprofit.
Yeah, y'all need to step up. We need more from y'all.
Too many of those people are... Love, and I sort of talked about this before. Like, they love going to Leg Hall. Well, who's going to Leg Hall this week? Who's going Wednesday? Who's going Thursday? I'm thinking, who gives a shit? None of this fucking. This is all for show. But you like doing it. It's the thing you can do. Okay, fine. But we got to get. I'm talking to those people.
Yeah, that's
the litmus test was only for the politicians.
Oh, they need a litmus test.
Then. Yeah, and they need to be told. Yes,
they need it harder.
The other reason you're here, and this is a great time to point this out, because people have come up to me subsequently, more than one, I think three, possibly four, and mentioned to me that one of the things they think about is the phrase about politicians, any politician, throw them all in the trash. And they think it was me that said it. But the original person who said it is Cheyenne Miller.
You can only prove it if it's recorded.
It is fucking recorded. Yeah. And don't try to fucking go back in there and find it and delete it.
Yo, that's funny.
Yes, and I do. Every time somebody says it, I'm like, well, you know, actually it was Cheyenne Miller who said that, not me. Now, I do agree. Yeah, because they get deferential treatment. Like, when they tell people, I love this one. When they cry about, like, how it is in caucus, or they won't run my bill if I don't do this, or if I insult them in the lunchroom, you know, they won't put me on the committee or whatever. Anybody who says that, they immediately need to go. Like, they immediately need to go. Like, that is the kind of stuff that I'm looking out for, and the reason that they all need to be thrown in the trash. So speaking of litmus tests, I want to get it off my chest because it's been bugging me. So I just want to say it out loud because I know people are not going to like it. And then we can get to something fun at the end or something. My litmus test is now going to be, if you run for political office as a Democrat, I'm not voting for you. And I'm sorry.
You're just not voting.
Correct. Okay. I'm sorry that Working Families Party and other groups that I work with and feel comradeship with are going to endorse and work for these people. I know one of them in my area who's probably going to run, but she'll run as a Democrat, and I'm not supporting that. Somebody's got to fucking make a stand. There's at least 1,000 of us listening to this podcast. We have to. If I'm going to sit here and yell about it and yell about litmus tests and who we're going to work with and who I trust, then I have to put something behind it. So I'm going to register as the Working Families Party, and I'm not voting for anybody who runs as a Democrat. I only want insurgent candidates, however they run, whether Working Families Party can run them, if they can run as independents or some other thing. I'll support them based on their position against capital, basically. That's it. I'm done.
You heard it here first, folks. Don't vote for Medina.
Oh. I don't have to not vote for Medina.
Yeah, because you're in a different fucking district.
Well, here's the thing. Medina could run as a Working Families Party candidate and win in 2 years. Why doesn't she? Why won't she? Why won't you do it?
Because she's a coward. We know this.
That's not because she's a coward.
Then what's the reason?
I don't know. Let's get her in here and ask her.
Yeah.
The reason I could call her right now.
Is because, as we've talked about before, there's a difference between...
This is what I'm trying to stoke the...
The Democratic Party... The organization and the Democratic Party, the fucking ballot line.
Well, here's the problem, the first fucking problem, because the ballot line only gets them to Dover, and when they get to Dover, there's no differentiation. Well, I'm not seeing results where they go.
That's the Democratic Party.
So that's
it.
So again, if you're going to step into that the same way everybody has the last 2 years, you've had a big hand in doing quite a bit of it. They step in there. And we're not seeing the fucking results. So that's it.
We just listed out a whole bunch of people.
I demand results, and I'm not seeing any. So throw them all in the trash.
I mean,
I think Medina would agree with me if she was here.
Let's do some math.
No, this isn't about math.
We're gonna do some fucking math.
This isn't about math.
It is literally about
Elon Musk.
It is literally about math.
Because in the House, you get the math, things change, and we still get nothing. We've talked about this for 2 years, every fucking 2 years for 6 years.
Let's talk about
this. We get the math changes.
What about this?
But nothing ever changes. I want to ask Cheyenne, in 6 years, can you point to as the kind of world we want to see and the kind of, like you said, just even the small reforms, as you said before, don't get done. Even we can't even help the lowliest person, let alone pass anything of consequence. Right? And so what are we getting out of it?
I'm just going to say, I already have trouble voting
as whatever the number you're looking... Whatever number you're looking to go up.
I'll skip a ballot line in a hot second.
Whatever number you're looking at to go up. When it gets to the highest point, what are we getting?
I'll be reading them. I just be skipping them because I'm like, I don't think that's a good option.
Let him go. He's going to cut most of this out anyway. Let him go. Do the math.
41 state representatives.
Okay.
27 Democrats. Majority of that is 14.
Right.
Majority of this overall is 21.
Right.
We've never gotten to 14, let alone 21.
Okay.
Not a single independent, non-Democrat or Republican has been elected to the Delaware State Legislature since probably early 20th century, would be my guess. Maybe like 1912. So.
Okay.
They ran on a ticket of shutting down the DuPont Army Gloves factory.
Yeah.
He came out of nowhere in the last 3 weeks.
They were like, look, we have a lot of money.
In other words, our numbers aren't there.
But if we're serious about power, And
yeah,
like,
so for serious,
the government,
correct. I agree with you. I think the quickest way to get, because every time we get a couple towards the 14, I feel like we didn't really get them. I feel the only way to that 14 is by giving up on the party. Is we can get 16, 18. We could take over RDs. We could do all this stuff. That's not going to, that does change the math. They're never going to do it. Like this idea that once that number changes, I've been disabused of that. I mean, I know that you've made that argument before, but like, who are we counting? Who are we counting towards the 14? Because we were counting people towards that 14. A lot of them I can think of that now they're not part of that 14. And so we're taking those steps backwards. When frankly, the only way, in my opinion, to go to what Cheyenne said, the only way we're going to get change from the legislature is if we fucking blow it up and do something completely different.
Did I say blow it up?
Me? Blow it up in the rhetorical sense. Actually, just actually put dynamite.
You gotta be careful. I'm black. I can't be out here saying
that's right. We're throwing bombs tonight, baby. Rhetorically, you know, ironically, satirically.
Yeah, say
know,
that. Look, say all look, that extra
look,
stuff.
You know what
asterisk,
Guy
asterisk,
Fawkes, you know what Guy Fawkes really tried to do? Look it up, folks. No, I sort of agree with you. Now, I will say that I actually think we could get progress or make serious political threats in the legislature, but the only way we're ever going to do it is outside the Democratic Party.
I'm not even arguing about whether it's going to be the parties. And my thought process is that, like, you can't expect people who are benefiting from a system to change that system. If you're getting paid by the state government, you're not going, you have a very less likelihood, I'm going to say less, like, you are not likely to do what the people need. And it's just because of the way that thing is set up. And so I don't expect that if we change people even over to one party or another or stop supporting one or another, I don't think we're going to, I think we are going to be forcing people regardless of what colors they wear or who they associate with, because at the end of the day, this system is still set up to benefit them. So if we want to go one route or another electorally or whatever, let's do it. But let's remember that what we're not going to do is get there with fucking politeness. Like, we are not going to get there not challenging people. Like, and that's what's pissing me off, is that all the people that we're dealing with in our day to day that are officially in this movement are basically asking us to calm the fuck down. They're asking us to align loyalties with a fucking political party that doesn't fucking have no loyalty to the people. And like, we can't do that. Like, you can't tell us not to dissent and then tell us go vote for you next year. Like, you can't do that. Like, I don't know. It's ghetto.
Last word on it.
Last word?
Yeah, however long you want to.
Oh boy,
I don't care. You're gonna. I mean, you're the editor. You could put in. You
so
can put
far,
in something
we're
afterwards. No, I'm checking the time because I have.
Yeah, we're actually doing pretty well.
I have
time.
A good bit at the end. That yeah. will be pretty fun.
I think my opinion, and this is where I deviate from some of the more radicals, is that I don't think we can do any of this without going through the government in some way. If we're talking about like police reform, but even if we're talking about things like a wide-scale social safety net, real labor reform, all that stuff, I know that's one of the things that, like, there, you know, if we do like a real revolution, like Moscow 1917, like there's one thing there, but even they built a government afterwards. Like, you know, there, you know, you always have to have some sort of government, and governments have some sort of built-in rules. They have pressures. They have constituencies, they have all these different things that are the messy shit that makes up politics. And we just have a particularly kind of rancid set of those incentives and all that stuff that makes up our current governmental system. Like, just look at SB21 to see how that's shaken out. And you mentioned, you know, we've gotten people, and then we've have people who we thought were really going to be with us, and then they weren't. But the majority of people, I would say, that we've endorsed, I feel pretty good. I'd say even the vast majority of people that we've endorsed and have gotten elected, I feel pretty good about. Not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I think that's one point of just, you can't get around the need for governing power. You can't just do it on the outside. You can't just disinvest from everything that, all the power systems that exist. The second thing I would say is, I agree that we need to do stuff that isn't politics. Because if you look at, going back to, you know, we use the New Deal as an example. And, like, it's not a perfect example because the New Deal failed at the end of the day. It was racist. Like, it had a lot of internal contradictions. It was set up in the 1930s and was dismantled by the 1960s based on the own contradictions that were built in about having a separate white working class and a black working class. And when the black working class got anything resembling
they still confiscated high wealth at 90%.
Yeah.
And we still have Social Security. So yeah. Harvey's not here, so I have to step in a little bit.
So it was certainly a step up from where we were before, but it was a thing. It was not perfect, but
confiscatory.
The reason that it even got to that point of being able to be that good was because there was outside pressure from the CIO, even the AFL to a certain extent, from some organized progressive groups, this Townsend movement, kind of ironic. But also, the fucking Communist Party. Like, there's a lot of different outside organizations that were doing stuff that was not politics, but they were able to get involved in politics in a way that was effective. Because I think back to, I've been reading a lot about the Knights of Labor. They did everything outside of the two-party system, and they got jack shit. And the CIO threw down with the Democrats, and I think that had a lot of issues. The fact that they became essentially a wing of the Democratic Party was a huge mistake. But in the short term, it got them what they needed. So if you look back at 1968, I just got this book, and I know Bill, I think Kirsten got it for you a while ago, but about the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I had forgotten, I probably knew this at some point, was that in 1968, the AFL-CIO ran Hubert Humphrey's campaign. Like, the nuts and bolts machinery of that campaign was the AFL-CIO, and it failed. And so I do think that tying the success of any one campaign or movement or that to any sort of outside movement is ridiculous, but you do have to have some sort of relationship between the two. And so you need to build the tenant unions, the actual unions, the community groups, all that stuff, the civic infrastructure of working class society that is necessary to make these things possible. But you then need to take that power in some way. And I think the exact way that it happens, it needs to happen it needs to enter the halls of power one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that's well put. I think all of these sort of ancillary groups should apply pressure. And the best way, like I said, I'm all for running people for the legislature. I think the Democratic Party is the thing that dampens their spirit.
Yeah, and I think
not raises their
my last
of
point
the
on that,
that we're talking about.
Yeah, and so my last point on that is that's why I do like the Working Families Party model, and obviously I'm paid to do it, so take that as you will. But
it's propaganda, folks.
I just want to give a shout out to email. It's just something I do a lot during the day.
But
thanks, email.
With Working Families Party, it is a independent political power. We are an organization that anybody in the Democratic Party will tell you is not a part of the Democratic Party.
They're so mad.
They really don't like us. But because there is we live in a society where about a third of people are registered Democrat, a third of people registered Republican, a third of people are registered independent, but 80% of those people are basically just Democrats or Republicans because they always vote one way up and down the ballot. And we saw what happened when you try to run someone third party. It often does not go anywhere. And sometimes if you have
it's not sustained though. There's no organizing behind it. No one's ever done it like you could do it. Absolutely nobody.
Well,
nobody in the last 75 years in Delaware has been positioned to do it like you're positioned to do it.
And
if I may be so bold to say.
Yeah. But if we're looking at what they're doing in Philly with Kendra Brooks and Nicholas O'Rourke, there are we this something that we talk about within WFP, how do we act more party-ish or party-like? How do we not just be a fucking faction of the Democratic Party, which is not what we are, and I think that is clear enough in the way that we operate.
That's a good question, though. And again, I'm just interrogating what you said. I'm not trying to. But so when there is this palpable known, we talked to Kevin Kaneko about it, the Working Families Party Delaware derangement syndrome. When there's that, we try not to talk about it. Well, we can't. If we're not going to be an apparatus of the Democratic Party, which I don't want to be, why do we pretend that they should be good? Be scared. Don't do anything. Keep doing the same shit. You keep getting beat. My problem is we keep beating your ass, but nothing seems to change. That's why I'm looking for kind of another thing. But yeah, I think we just have to face up to that a little more than what we're doing.
I think there's an assumption that we are working closer with the Democrats than we are, I feel like, sometimes, though. Like, to me, I feel like there's not that much of an affiliation other than by name. Like, if you look at, like...
But every politician that the campaign size does work for goes down there and is in the caucus, is afraid that Frank Cook's going to yell at them and Mimi's not going to run their
Frank
bill.
Frank Cook can yell at me any day.
Yeah, you know what?
It's
funny, all these people... Here's the thing. All these people that yell, and everybody's like, this guy yells, and this guy yells. I'm like,
they do be yelling.
They're not going to yell at me.
I would say they could yell. They
because
want
Because, like I said, I'm not going to say why. You can fill in the blanks. I will be going to prison. I'll be going to jail. I have to call Kevin O'Connell up and get a fucking attorney. Because no one's fucking yelling at me. I'll fuck somebody up. I can't believe that stuff. It's so disheartening. That's the problem. I do want to clear up one thing before we get into the final funny bit. I'll see where it goes. Carl said something about the Soviet revolution and communism. These are other buzzwords that people like. Oh, you saw Lenin. Oh, communism. Oh, okay. So I've had this conversation a couple times. The Soviet Union fell because they didn't have an industrial revolution. In France and in England and in the United States, we had bourgeois revolutions where we had a revolution, but it was a revolution of like rich people that were like, hey, we're rich. Just because you're noble, we can do the same shit you can do. But they had that and they were able to produce. See also the work of Steve Paxton, who's been on this podcast many times. So like all of these weird words that like you don't understand. And again, the audience here is the nonprofit manager. Or the Slack poster, a lot of Slack posters don't understand this.
Nonprofit. Warrior.
A lot of, I'll be honest with you. A lot of people at the Delaware Democratic Socialists of America don't understand this either. They would be very interested to go back and listen to our two discussions with Steve Paxton.
Yeah, they're waiting for the Corporate Law Council's edition of SB 21 to really, you know, firm up an opinion.
That's
on
what socialism means.
That's.
Sorry. Look, I told you we were gonna fucking drop the hammer on everybody. So anyway, the idea that we have to run away from this stuff is silly. When people start talking about why has communism failed everywhere? Well, if it's so bad, why is everybody, why are all the capitalist countries so goddamn afraid of it? It seems odd, right? I mean, if it was so stupid and didn't work, why would we spend so much money overthrowing all these governments then? Anyway, let's get to something funny. Okay, so the only way I can do this is by not telling you guys I'm doing it. And like I think it actually works better beeping it with your reaction. But I'm very angry about this RD thing again. This RD thing has bubbled back up. Like who's the vice chair of their RD and who's filling out. I love the grievance. The RD grievance. It's nothing. It's like anyway, what I'm recommending from the bunker is when you think of RD, think right? Remember what you used to think? It's now, again, this may or may not go out. This is Trump's America. Maybe I can say it. I don't know what Carl's allowed to do.
If y'all could see my face right now.
Look, this word has gotten a bad rap. Sort of like progressive, as it was explained before.
Exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. Well, again, here's how it's the same. And Carl didn't even do this. He mentioned it before. The progressive is a person who sees this conflict but is trying to slow it down. Is trying to, it's like, doesn't want this, like, I just want to, like, I'm afraid of communism, but I just want to be like, can't we just be nice? Like, and that is retarded. That's retarded. In the way that I mean is like slowing things down, to slow down, to stop the progress of.
Slow down.
And so.
Oh, I had to like. It took me a minute because I said this nigga just said retarded.
Like, it's also retarded.
I got you. I was fixing my shoes and shit.
It's what they call a double entendre.
Yo.
Come on. I've been working on that for 3 days.
That's pretty good.
You did that good because it took me me a minute to put some like.
I knew Carl was there, so I even looked over there, and Carl was like,
"You had to get me caught up." I said, Anyway,
slow.
You might have to drop that nigga out from the edit.
If you can say the N-word, then...
I'm black, just for everybody on the call.
Oh, yes. I forget that sometimes.
I'm sitting here with three white boys. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We have a huge audience now that may not know that, so thank you for...
They're going to be like,
Carl, were you scared?
I'm unflappable.
Or you're like, Rob's probably going to go to the mothership now. Use the F slur against gays.
Yo.
Come on. Look, Matt Meyer doesn't even like the trans community.
That's true.
I'm still trying to fix myself from that shit. Like, you're dropping the R word and shit. Look,
RDs are retarded. That's just
they're not going nowhere, baby.
I'm sorry, that's just English.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, number one, I liked playing out one of the episodes with the song that we did, Everybody Knows, the Leonard Cohen song. So I was trying to think of what would be a good one this week, and I think we'll do a vote. So what people don't know is we're recording this on the Feast of St. Patrick.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy. A Roman, Italian, maybe, who knows? Yeah, that guy, Irish guy. And so we could do a Celtic symphony, you know, Ooh Ah Up the Ra. Or we could do a song that is from an album, the eponymous album of Randy Newman, that I listened to on vinyl this week. And I will be the first to admit it. I had an emotional moment. It's a great album. My favorite Randy Newman song is on it, Political Science, or Let's Drop the Big One. Great song. No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven. That's actually, maybe we should just go out with Political Science. I was going to say Sail Away, because Sail Away always makes me cry. But maybe Political Science is more apt for the progressive lib. I just want to thank, first of all, Cheyenne, thank you, because I knew I really needed support here. I needed to be seen in
this
room.
Hopefully I helped with that.
I needed you to hold some space for me. So thank you for that. Because I knew I was out on a little bit of a ledge here. I noticed Bill liked the attorney he is, said about 9 words the whole thing. Goddamn, that's why. Look, Chance said I could say this. Attorneys mostly can't trust them.
Rob, it's been a pleasure talking passive income with you today.
Oh man, I still went the look on Steve's face when you were like, yeah,
because he was like,
yeah,
he was like, not you too.
I
was like, yeah.
You were like, would we seize your boat? Yeah, we would. And Carl, thank you for always doing a great job producing, but also for taking a little bit of heat tonight. I really appreciate it. And plus, you know, I said retarded, and you were like, oh my god, what's happening? I know you fucking freaked out.
Let me stop.
Don't lie.
I mean, whenever I listen to a Dirtbag Left podcast, I know it's coming within 2 weeks.
I'm headlining at the Comedy Mothership with what's that guy's name? I can't even remember. Anyway, thank you. We just gave you a little more information about how left is best. I hope you all enjoyed it. Goodbye.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one, pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old. Africa's far too hot and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name.
best drop the big one. There'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London. Boom Perry. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, will just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, baby, be Italian shoes for me. They all hate us anyhow. So let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.